This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, November 25th, 2020. The Memorial of St. Catherine of Alexandria by Father William Doc Holliday.
You'll be hated for all for my name's sake.
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. I've always got somewhat of a chuckle when people will come up and they'll say, when some catastrophe has struck, it makes the news. Do you think we're in the last days, the end times? It's the easiest question anyone ever poses to me, because the immediate answer is, yep, we're in the last days, because when Jesus was walking, he said that we're in the last days. The letters of the apostles tell us that we are in the last days. Well, I mean the last days when Antichrist is going to come. Oh, like in Peter's letter where he says the Antichrist has come, that there are many Antichrists, plural. And yes, I don't want to get into the big debate about the one who's going to come, if that is indeed the case. But at the end of the day, we have to understand that what our Lord is talking about, particularly in this gospel passage today, when he gives us a heads up of things that are going to happen, catastrophes and everything, we have to understand that what our Lord is doing is he is trying to give us a heads up to be prepared. All right, be prepared to endure, be prepared to do what we need to do in order to glorify him, no matter what may be going on. We have to appreciate the fact that, for one thing, lectionary readings have to start somewhere. This one starts like in the second sentence of the pericope that's set aside for it, the section of Scripture, because our Lord doesn't start out with talking about you will be persecuted. He is talking about signs that are going to be seen. It's all start initially about nature. You will see this happen. You will see this. You will have earthquakes and such things as this. But he says that we are not to be beset by these things. What our Lord wants us to do, and this is a critique of that question, are we in the end times? Our Lord says, let not your hearts be troubled. These things must needs be. Earthquakes, wars, famines, things like that. They are going to happen. What our Lord wants us to do is understand that we, no matter what we may be confronted with in this world, we must endure. He does not want us to be confused about just any catastrophe or hardship is the indication of his coming. We should always be prepared for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's imperative to be prepared. Had a thing in the adult forum a couple months ago now about the 3 days of darkness. A lot of people all concerned about the 3 days of darkness. I got no problem with the concern about the 3 days of darkness. You should be much more concerned, as I said in those classes, about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, 3 days of darkness is going to be nothing compared to the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read 2 Thessalonians. When our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, to use bad grammar, it ain't going to be pretty. He's going to be taking care of business, and we need to appreciate that. Our Lord does not want us to get all upset every time we have an earthquake or a war, a pandemic, or a combination thereof. It is about being ready for him. And during these times, we are to continue to preach the gospel. When you preach the gospel during times like that, it gets a whole lot more traction than when you preach the gospel, standing out on a nice sunny day, handing out tracts on a boardwalk at the beach or on a sidewalk somewhere, okay, or having some picnic in the church parking lot and having visitors come there, and then you share the gospel. The gospel goes a whole lot further when endurance is manifest. And please, step back and also understand, just like our Lord doesn't want us to be confused by just any catastrophe happening, we have to also be introspective and understand that in our individual lives, we are going to have our own personal catastrophes, if you want to call it that. The times of trial in our lives. where when you remain faithful and you continue to witness for our Lord Jesus Christ, when things aren't going in your life the way they seem they should be, particularly to other people, that old, you know, sort of like the Book of Wisdom thing, well, let's see how faithful he really is. We will try him. We will torture him. We will do this. We will disrespect him. You know, we are tried. And it is our presentation of the gospel during these times of trials that our Lord wants us to be aware that it is a necessity. And he sets the stage for a proper presentation of the gospel when times are going bad, whether it be for us as individuals and or in society, in the world, or even in the church. We give our best witness. Yeah, let's use that as in the church. I would submit, and this is, I always say, when I subjectively say something and put my opinion, I subjectively believe that these are the worst times in history of the church, ever. Well, the Arian crisis and this crisis, there's never been a crisis like we're having in the church where Catholics don't know what their faith is, or professed Catholics don't know what their faith is. They've never been taught their faith. They don't know their faith. And when they're presented with their faith, they actually recoil, many of them, from it. When things like that are going bad, to maintain a proper presentation of the gospel, to remain reverent, no matter what everybody else does, that has no bearing on anything, what everybody else does. The last news flash, okay? The last time I looked, there are a whole lot more pagans than they were of us. And statistically, from what I'm understanding, you know, given some current surveys, there's a whole lot less Catholics than we think there are. There might be a whole lot in our churches, but what they profess that they do believe or don't believe is not commensurate with the Catholic faith. So to give a clear and a precise and an orthodox gospel message and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, when you do those things and it's not what everybody else does, it draws attention. It draws attention, and our witness goes far. So, you know, basically what the Lord is saying here is whatever the situation may be, personally, in the world, combination thereof, we are to endure. You're to endure those situations. Not only endure them grudgingly, but, you know, pull a St. Francis and give God thanks. Thank you that you put me in this position in my life to where my witness is going to shine a lot brighter, because it shines brightly because my life is seemingly so dark. Your witness is going to glimmer. And I always say, the darker it is, the dimmest of lights shine brightly. So we need to appreciate that. This is what our Lord's talking about. This is our endurance. And verse 19 of that passage, it's by your endurance, you will gain your lives. What is our Lord saying about that? If you read the last part of that gospel, it is seemingly somewhat contradictory. If you don't understand what our Lord's saying, it says, you're being turned over to the authorities, and some of you they will put to death. And then two sentences later said, but not a hair of your head will perish. Well, you just said that some of them are going to have perishing heads of hair. Well, no, it's not. He's talking about the second death. He's talking about hell. For us, death in this world is a portal. It is a crossover. No matter how horrible it may be, it's still a step into the other side. This is what we need to appreciate. And this is what our Lord is talking about. But that last sentence, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. He's talking about life eternal. Life in his presence, life at the supper table of the Lamb with the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints and the holy angels. This is what he's talking about, and the way you get it is enduring this world. Our Lord Jesus Christ had to do it. Our Blessed Mother had to do it. The saints had to do it. You know, today, if we didn't have to endure things, we wouldn't have the holy martyrs. I mean, you see nothing but red up here. It's because of St. Catherine of Alexandria, one of the 14 holy helpers. We have to appreciate that we wouldn't have her if she hadn't understood that she needed to endure. And she was a young girl. She's 18, 19 years old when she was martyred. And it wasn't quick. It wasn't pretty. It's interesting that after her flagellation to within an inch of her life, with tradition said there was not a place on her body that was not bleeding after she had been scourged, not a place on her body. Then they bring her up in front of everybody, and okay, now that you're in that condition, I want you to debate all these scholars that I've brought in. They're going to tell you why you should worship the pagan gods and not endure what you just endured. And not only did they not dominate her in their presentation, several of them were converted to Christian and martyred. And then while she was in prison and people watched her continue to suffer, she had people that the emperor's wife even visited her, and they were converted and many of them martyred. This is what happens when we endure. And it's not going to be anything, pray God, nothing are we going to have to deal with that is anything like what St. Catherine dealt with. But even the Lord is going to use our little trials in life to present a clear gospel presentation. This is the endurance that he speaks about. It doesn't matter what the problem in your life may be, how long it may last. It may be till you die. But even then, it's fleeting. If we serve God in Jesus Christ, we're going to have to deal with things like that. St. Paul says that in 2 Timothy. I quote, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not maybe, will be persecuted. And we can be persecuted from within our own ranks. And again, that just makes our gospel presentation clear. It convicts others of sin, whether they admit it or not. But it is a glaring example when we stay faithful. And your Lord will give you special graces to do so. He says right in that passage in the gospel, settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand on how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Hence the pagan philosophers not being able to sway St. Catherine. But in our case, don't fret over it. I've had a lot of people come to me, you know, talk to a lot of people about this stuff, even individually, and they'll bring up a lot of, I could never be a martyr. And some people in tears, if I ever got asked, I know I couldn't do that. You know why you feel that way now is because nobody's asking you to do it. God gives special graces to those who are getting ready or presented with the opportunity to die for him. But he will give you also special graces to stand firm when a family member is belligerent, that are in rebellion against the church and her teachings. He will give you the wisdom to say what you need to say. And you know what? Every now and then the Holy Spirit might just put a lock on your lips, as it says in the Psalm, that you not say anything. Sometimes there's a good time to speak. Sometimes there's a time you just keep your mouth shut. Our Lord, prime example. Crowned with thorns, spitting on him, hitting him with reeds, mocking him, does not say a word. And even after the scourging, you stand before Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate, I have power. You're not going to answer me? I have power to let you go or to crucify you. He didn't remain silent. He pops off at Pontius Pilate. You have no power over me unless it's given from you on high. That's the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, who stood firm and open his mouth when necessary, he's going to let you know. He's going to let you know. Don't fret over it. He will give special graces to endure. It is very important, because this isn't like a gospel passage that has a nifty presentation. This motif, this particular passage, this particular event is spoken of in every one of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Every one of them have this event. St. Matthew actually adds another event where he talks about the necessity of endurance in trials. St. Peter speaks about it in his first letter about enduring trials. It is of a necessity that we endure trials, because every one of them talks about the gospel presentation that we are enabled to give to the world when we give it when we're enduring trials. no matter what they may be. This is the message here. Not, hey, oh, we had an earthquake. Jesus is coming back. Our Lord actually explicitly says, no, not necessarily. Don't let your heart be troubled about this thing. They must needs be. It is about worrying about Jesus Christ coming again. And we don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know the days or the times, but our Lord just continues to say, be ready. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.